Good morning, Rim Church family. We are going to be studying and finishing up the first epistle of John, chapter 5. It's going to continue the theme of love, and as we know that everything is fulfilled by love. All the commandments are all summed up. If you would just love, right? God is love. So we're going to get another heavy dose of that and some more of defending the truth also. But first, I'd like to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for this time to be able to read these scriptures. I give thanks for just the existence of these scriptures, God. We would not know so much about life if this book didn't exist. Just the ideas in it are just so blessing, Lord. Like the idea of marriage, where does that come from? It's in this book. And we're so thankful for love. And I just pray, Lord, as we come before you to study this and everybody listens, God, that we may learn something new, Lord, that we may bring some more light into our lives, God, by your truth. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So, I'm going to be reading this time out of the New King James Version. I know that's not usually what we read out of, but hey, a little something different. Chapter 5, First Epistle of John. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also, loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that we should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. Verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Wow. I always remember when I read the epistles of John, to me, it always just seems so clear what he's saying. He writes it in such a way that it's easy to understand, you know. He wants us to acknowledge God, the true God, the triune God, right? He wants us to love with the love that's so great, we're imitating the love of Christ. And it's just over and over and over in these three epistles of his. So, we'll start back at the top. Verse 1, chapter 5, first epistle of John. Whoever believes that Jesus is a Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So, we are born of God if we believe in Christ, because the old man has been crucified on the cross with Jesus, and we have been resurrected again with Christ. Colossians 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism. In baptism in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we can see the workings of that belief, you know, in what happens. We're transformed and we are continuing on being transformed in the image of Christ until the day we die. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, right? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. We keep his commandments out of love. They're not burdensome. This is also a test to see if we're on the right track. Right? In Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30, Jesus tells you, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I always remember when I first read that verse, it's when you're searching for God, it just, the unknown is always so big, right? It's just, it's the unknown. And it's just so heavy, you know. It is a burden. And I remember when I first read this verse, it actually brought tears to my eyes. Because here was this burden that Jesus was offering, and it was light. In any sense of the word light, bright, God is light, right? The truth is light. The lie is the darkness, right? Or if you think of a heavy weight, right? It's lifted. And that's the burden he's giving you. He's like, look, this is the burden I give you. It's light. It's not a soul-crushing despair. You know, there's hope. There's help on the horizon. Victory's already won, right? Christ has already died on the cross and resurrected again. He's given us the Spirit of God inside of us. To will and not to will, right? So, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Wow, what a great victory. How we are born of God is through Christ's resurrection and us believing in Jesus. Since Christ overcame the world and we are partakers of his victory if we believe in him. Verse 5 bolsters this. This verse also echoes verse 1. Which, when things are repeated in the Bible, they are important, right? God is repeating himself for a reason. And it's to pay attention to this, right? Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Right? And you can see in Revelation 3, verse 21, the definition of an overcomer. If you want to look at that. Verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, this is interesting if you see that there's two sets of three, right? John right here is using three, verse 7, right? Three witnesses. Father, the Word, which is, as we know, is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And then he goes again, verse 8, he's going to do another three. The Spirit, the water, the blood, right? And these agree. And then verse 9 is going to go about the witness of men. And this is what this means. And when he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son, right? And this is how he did it with three. And it was Jewish law that given by God that you need two or three witnesses to testify that something was true. So it's interesting that God uses the three right here. And we could see that Deuteronomy 19, verse 15 is that law about the witnesses. And Jesus' example of witnesses is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. Let me get a second. I want to look. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. Let's read one of these real quick. I wasn't going to, but it's always good when you get a word of Jesus in your life, right? So, one second. Chapter 18, verse 16. Here it is. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Right? And that's Jesus quoting out of the Old Testament. But it's good to see that Christ reaffirms, right? God always reaffirms his word. He never contradicts himself. Christ came and he elevated the law, right? He said, if you even think about lying with a woman, you've committed adultery, right? If you hate your brother in your heart, right? You've already murdered him in your heart, right? He elevated it, okay? And this is just another example of Christ reaffirming some more truth. Okay. So, verse 9. For this is the witness of God, which is testified of this, his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. Right? The witness of God is that Jesus is he, is who he is, our Savior, our only way to God. By believing in Jesus, we believe in God's testimony. Right? In our Savior. Verse 11. And this testimony that God has given us eternal life, and that his life is in his Son. Verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the Son of God. This is such a... Verse 13 is such a great verse. You know, he tells you, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, right? That you may know you have eternal life. Now that verse right there is a verse that you can always stand on to know that God's not going to give you salvation and rip it away from you. Okay? That is not the character of a loving father. That is not the character of a just God. Okay? And God, that is who God is. He is love. He is just. I mean, he's the very thought of it. He's the originator of it. He's the most perfect version of it. So, John's trying to tell us, and he says over 40 times in these five verses, that you may know, that you may know, right? I mean, in these five chapters. And this is a good one. This is just, that you may know you have eternal life, right? For those who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, obviously, that looks like something in someone's life. Okay, it's more than just a profession. It starts with the profession and the change of heart and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it's a daily walk until we are raised up in the clouds. So, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we have asked of Him. So here we can see, if we ask, if we pray according to the will of God, right? If it's His will, it will be done. The promises of God are not null and void. When what He speaks into existence becomes, you know, it's not a maybe type of thing, right? It's a no, that you may know. Right? Verse 15. If we know that He hears us, we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Verse 16. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that you should pray about them. Okay. He will ask, and He will give Him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that He should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So what's He talking about here? John is saying that if a believer is continually living a sinful lifestyle, right? That you should pray for them not to have a hard time, right? I mean, that has to be conviction in someone's life, right? That's what the Holy Spirit inside of you does, convict you. So, however, we should pray that they would be freed from that lifestyle, you know, that is leading to death. You know, that they would learn their lesson no matter how hard life is on them. Because we want to walk out of the light. We want others to walk out of, I mean, sorry. We want to walk into the light. We want others to walk out of the darkness. And if you're uncomfortable, you know, is a good time to change, right? That way you may regain some more comfort in your life. And that's the role of a Christian brother in each other's life, right? We hold each other accountable out of love. And we speak the truth in love. We don't beat them up, you know. So, verse 17. Verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So now that we are born of God, right, saved, we don't run around doing whatever we desire, but conform to the will of God. And that's once again, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit inside you. So, verse 16 is just telling us, for brother is not guarding himself, but living in sin. John tells us again at the end of the book to keep oneself from idols. I mean, that's the last thing he says. And those are his parting words, and those are some really strong parting words we'll talk about. And remember that Jesus is the keeper of our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, is where it states that. And we know, this is verse 20, 1 John 1, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and the eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. We have been given an understanding, right? We have this Bible, the Word of God. So we may know him who is true. Jesus is the Word of God manifest. Let's not forget that. We just went through that, church, over the last months when we were in the book of John. And it's book of John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 14. He is the Word of God manifest. So, as we close, I'd just like to remind us as we go through this world and as we wait for our Creator to not lose hope, to not become discouraged, because myself included, it is very easy to do so. And even on a daily basis, with the way the world's going, it is increasing, right? Lawlessness will abound. And this is, Christ said it would happen. And it's no surprise to us. We have to keep reminding ourselves that people are the way they are, in that there's so much chaos and sadness around us. But the thing is we need to make sure we keep our focus trained away from this world, right? Jesus is not of this world, and neither are we. So I would just like to encourage everybody listening that Christ is all and in all, and there's preeminence in Christ. There's first things in love. And if we could just remember to just love with the God type of love, with the smart love, with the understanding love, with the soft touch, I know we would solve a lot of our things that tend to pull our focus away from heaven. And so I just close in prayer. I thank you, God, for this opportunity to speak some truth into this world, God. I thank you for each and everyone listening here to this, God. I ask that you would bless their lives, Lord, that they may walk away from hearing this, God, and that they may be mightier now than they were before they came before you to serve on this day, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.